I'll tell you what, tonight it's been a real thrill, preacher, to be here with you. These three nights of meeting have been absolutely amazing, and I give God glory for what he's doing in the house. Well, how many glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was thinking about what you said, man of God. You said, I'd rather be here the place. Somebody said, I'd rather be here than the finest jail in town. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's an honor, and I thank you for allowing me to come and be part of what God's doing here in Rwanda, North Carolina. It's been an amazing place, and I was up on Highway 77, and I was preaching in Bristol, Tennessee, and I told the people up there, I said, you know what's wonderful? I said, I had no idea y'all was stuck back here out in the woods out here like this. And I said, now, when I ride the highway, I got somebody that can throw me a biscuit every once in a while. And they said, you ain't leaving tonight. They made me some that bread, what you call it, nut bread, and coffee and ham biscuits and all. They said, you ain't leaving till we feed you. And I'll tell you what, it's just a joy to know that this place is up here and to God be the glory. I want to encourage you, and I left, this is a preacher's book, so don't take his. And but if you like to get one of my books before I leave tonight, and like I told you the other night, this is book sort of tell the story. It's 100 pages, and you'll see pictures of me in there, pictures of my family. And you'll see what I used to have. Some of you have already seen. You thought I was kidding you when I told you I had a bush. And well, you don't understand what that is. Just get the book. And you'll see a bush, amen. We call the afro. And somebody said, how'd you lose all your hair? I said, man, you pastored the Baptist church for 33 years. It'd be a miracle you got one strain of hair. Amen. So you go, and they're $10 each. Got some CDs down there. And thank you, man of God, again. Y'all been so kind. It's been just an honor to be here in this place. Well, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to get right in the Word of God in a minute. But Brother Jeremy Simpson talked about me before I got here yesterday. And I told him, preacher, I was stuck in the traffic down here on 77, but we made it on time. Got here right in time after being stuck. He told the preachers, well, he going to be late anyhow. Well, I'm going to tell you something about, did he ever tell you about me and him going hunting together? Well, we was out and the game warden walked up and he said, hey, you fellas done had your kill, hadn't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I see 15 rabbits, squirrels here apiece. Said, what y'all shooting with? I said, we kill them with ugly. He said, you kill them with ugly? I said, yes, sir. By that time, a squirrel jumped here over there. I said, that thing said, oh, pow. He said, I ain't never seen that before. He said, who's that down there behind that tree? I said, Brother Jeremy. He said, well, why is he hiding behind that tree? He said, do he do the same thing? I said, yes, sir, but he tears them up too bad. Don't you tell him I told you on it. Don't you tell Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 13. Well, you've already heard about Hebrews too, hadn't you? Somebody said that means all the men got to make the coffee. It says Hebrews, right? Okay. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's stand together out of respect of the Word of God. I won't be long tonight, but I want to share my heart. I was sitting there thinking about, you know, you're always praying, preacher, what does God want for the moment? And I was sitting there and all the singing and the somber spirit that's in this place. Sometimes God just wants us to be still and know that he's God. And tonight he just walked among us, and I give him glory for that. But look at Hebrews chapter 13. And let's begin reading at verse number 5. The Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Somebody said, God got my back. But I want to show you God got your front too. Look at that verse backwards. He said, thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. Sound like to me, he got you coming and going. Hey, look at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, I want you to notice, remember them which have the rule over you, who's spoken you the word of God, that's your preacher, whose faith follow, concerning the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse number 5 is my text. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I want to talk to him this thought tonight. And I know some of you are dealing with some real stuff tonight. And that's why God led me to this tonight. Why? Because he wants you to know that he didn't bring you this far to leave you. I want to talk about it tonight. Father, I want to thank you. What our hearts have already felt, our ears have heard tonight. I thank you what you've done here in this great church that you raised up this side of heaven. I thank you so much for the man of God, Brother Josh. Thank you for First Lady. Thank you for the precious daughter. And thank you for the family of God that's in this room tonight. I beg you to walk over this place and throw your weight around, bind every demon, bind every devil in hell. I pray, God, everything that devil is stirring up for evil, I beg you to turn it around for good. I pray, Spirit of God, if somebody slipped in here, I just to hear this wild preacher, that when they sit down, they'll sit in the lap of the Holy Ghost, and this will be a night that way bye-bye to Satan and hello to Jesus. Father, I know you don't need me, but I sure need you. God, bring the kingdom on earth like it is up in heaven. I give it all to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Lord, I feel a breath. Hey, glory. Let me tell you this. Back years ago, before they built that Concord Mills Mall and where we're at down there in Concord. I'd been out on the East Coast preaching, and I come home. That's back, brother, when we had our cell phones, but they was in a bag. You plug them in a cigarette lighter. I just come home from preaching, and they was building that. It was pitch black dark on the exit where I got off. And when I came up the exit, my tire blew out when I came up the exit. Well, I got on that phone. I had a spare, but I didn't have a jack. And so I got on that phone on my AAA card. I called the AAA lady. I said, ma'am, I said, look, it's pitch black dark out here where I am. And I said, ma'am, I'm out here all by myself. I need somebody to come quick. Well, on my AAA card, it says Pastor Tommy Steele. And she looked at the card. She said, if I'm looking at the right card, your name is Pastor Tommy Steele, ain't it? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, out of all the people in the world, you ought to know you ain't by yourself. Lord, have mercy. I got rebuked by a AAA lady. She said, oh, listen to me tonight. I want you to understand, out of all the people in the world, that you ought to know that you're not by yourself. That the same God this God that came down to the harbor pit where you were, this God that snatched you from the flames of hell, God didn't save you and walk off and leave you. The same God that brought you out, and the same God that'll be with you every step of the way. Am I right about it, too? I'll tell you something. Take it easy. Now, I'm going to show you some stuff tonight. But a lot of you, how many used to read comic books when you was growing up? I used to love comic books, preacher. And what a comic book always does, it always start out with the hero getting beat down by the villain. And then at the end of it, the villain gets up and the hero gets up and whips the villain. And so if you really don't want to waste your time trying to see how it's going to turn out, just flip over to the back of the book and you'll see when the hero gets up and whips the villain. And then you can come back up here at the beginning and say to the villain, you may have him down right now, but I ain't read the last chapter and he going to get up and put something on you. Well, if you're sick and tired of the devil messing with you, what you ought to do is take this book and turn over to the last chapter and see how Revelation 20, verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the fire and brimstone and shall be tormented forever and ever. Your torment is just for a moment. His torment is for eternal. Then you can walk back up at the beginning and tell the devil, you might be messing up here, but I've been to the last chapter. We win and you lose. We win and he loses. We win and he loses. Am I right about it, church? Listen to me. In Isaiah chapter number 46, verse 9 and 10, you can write it down. The Bible said, I'm God, and there's none like me. And then verse 10 said, he said, I decree a thing, not the beginning from the end, but the end from the beginning. Now, we just built a dream center, getting ready to build again. I got to meet with the architects this week. But you know, we're getting ready to add 500 more seats to our auditorium. Now watch this. Preacher, I've already got the building on the ground. But what happens is, it starts with a vision in your heart. Then you take the vision and talk to your men of God, ladies of God, your church about it. And then you take the vision that's in your heart down to the architect. And then they take a blueprint, and what they do, draw up you some plans. And they go all the way down to the last boat. And they take it to the city. And when the city sees at the last boat, then they take their stamp and put approval on it. And listen, in the mind of the city, it's already built before it ever gets started. Why? Because they've been to the end before it ever got started at the beginning. What I want you to understand, some of you worried about how things going to turn out, what's going to happen next. You serve a God that's already been to the end before you ever got started in the beginning. Good God Almighty, you better know tonight that you got a God that said, everything I've done, it's already finished before it ever got started. Am I right about it? You know how I know this ministry is going to make it? I'm going to tell you three things, and I'm done. Because first of all, this work is not the hand of a man, but this work is the hand of Almighty God. I said this work is not the hand of a man, but this work is the hand of Almighty God. Look at Acts chapter 5. Look at verse number 38 and 39. Chapter 5, verse 38 and verse number 39. Now, let me tell you what's taking place. Well, they had been beating the apostles for preaching Jesus. Well, they still whipping on them, trying to get them to shut their mouths about the King of Glory. But the Bible said this. There was a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Look at verse number 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of law, had a reputation among the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said to them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourself what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days, roll up the oldest, post himself to be somebody at whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves and were slain, and as many as obeyed were scattered and bought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him and also perished, and all, even as many obeyed him, were dispersed. Watch it close, class. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone. If this work of this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. I'm going to tell you something about this ministry and about this man of God. This church was not started by the hand of a man. This church was started by the hand of God. And whenever God turns something on, the devil can't turn it off. I said, when God turns something on, the devil can't turn it off. Am I right? I'm going to tell you something, preacher. Brother, in these 30, almost 34 years next month, I've seen people get upset and say, I'm out of here, and walk out of the church and say, I ain't coming back no more. And while they walking out, it's about 10 or 12 walking in, said, how you doing? They said goodbye, and they said hello. Why? Because you can't stop whatever God turned on. You can't turn it off. Am I right about it? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You know what a lot of people doing? They walking around with a buggy, and they shopping. What kind of church you looking for? I'm looking for a Burger King church. A Burger King church? Yeah. I want me a church that I can have it my way. I like Burger King. Well, baby, I start to tell you tonight, you come to the wrong place. This ain't Burger King. It's more like Wendy's. Old fashioned, hot and juicy, turning loose. Somebody help me up in here. Am I running? Somebody help me in here. Tell you something, preacher. Don't you worry yourself. I don't care what happens. God turned this on, and the devil can't turn it off. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how many walk in, how many walk out. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. I'm trying to get you to understand, this church is already finished before it ever got started. That's why I can't nobody shut it down, because God is the one that turned it on. When God turned it on, you can't turn it off. Am I right about it? So I already know. Y'all ain't got to worry. Number two, I'll tell you something else. Because you got more with you than they got with them. For the sake of time, let me tell you the story. Whew. Then I'm going to give you an illustration. You remember in 2 Kings 6 how that the king of Syria wanted to whip the Israelites. And so he had set up. He knew they always came this way. And so he has men set up. They's waiting on the Israelites to come. But they didn't show up. And so the king called time out. Check me out. He called time out. He said, hey. He called his men together. Said, which one of y'all are for the enemy? He said, ain't us, king. It's Elijah. Said, he's the one. That man knows the very word you speak in your bedchamber. He said, where is he at? Said, he down in Dothan. He said, go fetch him. Bring him to me. They got a whole army, sis, and put around the whole city of Dothan. Elijah and his, one of his men, his pop, they was in their sleep in the bed. One of his men got up, wiped his eyes. You know how you do? Looked out the window. He said, oh, Lord. Hey, look this way. All he could see was the enemy. Everywhere he looked, nothing but the enemy. And so he went back. He said, Elijah, you better get up. He said, what's wrong? He said, they got us. He said, who got us? He said, they got us, man. He said, ain't nobody got us. He said, you better look out these windows. He said, man, I'm trying to get me some sleep. He said, man, we're surrounded. He said, look. He said, Lord. He said, we got more with us than they got with them. What Elijah said. And they said, he said, we got more. He said, let me see. One, two, me and you. And look, it's thousands of them. Ain't nobody but one, two of me. And we got more than they. He said, Lord, I ain't gonna get a bit of sleep. Would you roll the cabin back? Let him see what's going on. And God pulled back the curtain of heaven, and heavenly angels, hosts, was all around the enemy, ready to attack at God's command. And he found out that we got more with us than they got with them. I'm trying to get you to understand, you and I have got more with us. Whoever your them is, whatever you're dealing with, it's your money on your job, it's your family, and your church, and your children. We got more with us than they got with them. Anybody believe that? Say amen. Hey, you remember that old commercial Verizon used to make? And it said, we got people. Hey, I want y'all to come in for just a minute. Yeah, oh, brother, y'all come in, Matt. Hey, bro, come in. Come in, yeah, yeah, come in. Yeah, you come and help me too. Yeah, come and help me. I need four of you. Now I want to show you something right now. Whew. If I can get it out, let me get that off of me. Yeah. Whoa. Glory to God. I want to show you something. Now, when I got saved, hold the blood up. I turned the face that direction. When I got saved, I got washed in the blood. And am I right about it? I got washed in the blood. I was out, brother, because I try to walk about 4 miles a day. And that's my praying time. And I was walking one day last year. And the sweet Holy Ghost said, he said, have you ever thought about what that, how to, Exodus chapter number 12, when they put that blood on the doorpost? He said, you know the story, how they put that blood on the doorpost. When the death angel come by, he said, what'd they do with that lamb? I said, well, Lord, they cooked that lamb and ate it that night. He said, ever thought about you got blood on the outside and lamb on the inside? Hey, you're saved by the grace of God. You got blood on the outside and lamb on the inside. Am I right about it? So now I got blood on the outside, lamb on the inside. Now, step back here. Y'all get over here just a minute. I'll get you. Now you stay right here. I'll tell you why. Because in Psalms 34:7, it said the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. So I got blood on the inside, lamb on the inside, blood on the outside. Then walk around me. Walk around me. Now I got an angel that walks around me. Now blood on the inside, outside, lamb on the inside. Then I got an angel, hold it. Now, not only that, but then I got a couple of fellas following me. Boss, real slow. Just walk. Now, walk around me. Now, then I look back. Two people follow. I said, who are y'all? They said, I'm goodness and mercy. Come on, follow me. Now, you, hey, hold it now. You're going to tell me that you ain't got more with you than they got with them, and you got blood in the outside, lamb on the inside, an angel around you. Goodness, mercy, Father. Somebody better help me up in this house. Hey, somebody help me out now. Thank you, man. Watch this. I said, number one, I know this work's going to make it, preacher, because it's not the hand of a man. This is the hand of God. I'm telling you what I know. I've been in this thing, like I said, going on 34 years, and I've seen them. I've seen God these 34 years, and I'm telling you, I've cried a lot of tears. My heart has been broke a lot of times, but I found out that God ain't bought me this for to lead me. Why? Because this work, it's not the hand of a man. It's the hand of God. And what I found out, we got more with them than they got. We got more with us than they got with them. And number three, I want you to know this, and I'm done. God never allows anything to come your way without permission. Ain't nothing you dealing with that God didn't allow it to come your way. I'm going to help somebody up in here now. Listen, don't you remember Job? Whenever Job, chapter 1, went before the sons of God, came before the throne of God, and who came with him? The devil came with him. And you remember what he said? He said, Satan, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, I've been to his house. Oh, yeah, I've been to his house. He said, did you touch him? He said, He said, you got a hedge about him, a hedge about his house, and everything he got. So I can't do nothing with that man unless you give me permission. Hey, and everything you're dealing with, God has to give permission for it can ever come your way. Hey, listen. But you know why sometimes, bro, God let things come our way? Let me show it to you. You can see it. If I take this popcorn right here, these kernels, and I ask you to put your hand out, sis, and I'll give everybody across the front some of these kernels. And I set the count of three, I want y'all to eat them. Y'all ain't eating no kernels. But I can take the same popcorn and put it in the microwave. See, what most people don't know, every one of these kernels have got moisture on the inside. And when it reaches a certain heat in that microwave, it turns into steam. And then that, when it gets that steam, that pop, he said, whoa, a pop. Now watch. I can start right over here with the whole bowl, brother. I wouldn't get two people down. They'd be clean the bowl. That which nobody wanted, all of a sudden, everybody want to get some. And so God allows stuff to come our way. Why? Because he said, I prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. Because this is what God uses to draw your enemies in. Because they see you going through stuff and see God bring you out of stuff. And they want to know when they're going through, can the God you serve do the same thing for me that it done for you? And you're able to stand there and say, if he brought me out, he can bring you out. Somebody help me in the house. Listen, I'm going to show you something, and I'm done. Hey, come here, Matthew, and y'all come back again. Let me show you something. Come on, bro, I need you. Let me tell you a little story. When I got saved 37 years ago, I went home. My wife didn't understand. I didn't know what saved was. Man, I went to church for a little boy growing up. I was scoutmaster, usher board, came running to the church. I did the best I could, but I didn't know what no save was. My preacher didn't tell us how to be saved. He told us to hold on, do the best you can, work at it. I thought to myself, I don't understand. When I was 19, brother, I went to him personally on a sunny day right after church. I said, preacher, I said, I know I'm not the best member you got. I was 19 years of age. I said, I don't understand. You've been preaching born again, saved. What are you talking about? How does a person know for sure they're going to heaven? He said, still, don't even worry about it. He said, one day God will tell you. I walked away thinking that he knew. But boy, don't God have a way of putting a searching sinner and a willing servant together. And 37 years ago, I told you the story tonight. Danny Willis took that book, led me to Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy. The sweetest thing, the thing that blew my mind, what I was hunting for, sis, was right there before my eyes the whole time. I just didn't know how to get to it. You know what a lost man is? A lost man is just a man trying to find his way home. That's all it is. And he needs this book, which is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. That's why we use this book to show him how to get to the house. Whoa! That's why Jesus said, and the light of the glorious gospel shall shine in Ephesians 4 out of your. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them and lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. A lost man is a man away from the house trying to find his way home. Somebody help me in here. But once you get saved, brother, come over here where they can see it. Come on over here, Storm. Once you get saved, my wife, hold it right there. My wife, didn't understand. I picked her up from mother-in-law's house. When I picked her up, I said, babe, we had tickets to go to the Coliseum to see the OJs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So OJs, yeah. OJs, Parliament, Funkadelic, whole crowd. I mean, ain't no woman like the one I got. OJs, yeah, you know. I came home from work, picked up from mother-in-law's. I said, baby, I got something to tell you. She said, what is it? I said, you ready? She said, what is it? On Friday afternoon. What is it? I said, you ready? She said, please tell me. I said, I got saved today. She said, you got what? I said, I got saved. She said, whatever you got, don't try to put it on me. She thought salvation was something to put on you. She didn't know it was something to get in you. See, water all on my head can't cleanse my thirst. It's water on the inside that cleanses your thirst. It's not having a talk about Jesus on the outside. It's having Jesus on the inside. Whoa. But wait a minute. Now here you are, Christian. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm honest with you. You're going to face some storms when God's permission. Here's what happens before a storm. Watch this. Here's a storm. There's the Christian. Storm try to come this way. The Lord said, no, not yet. And he, God will take him, bring him down here, let him read them scriptures, sit under preacher Josh and let him read that Bible by himself and pray and just walk with God. And then God will say, he ready for you now. He ready for you. Boy, I know it because this is what happened to me. For one solid year, my wife was pulling one way and God was pulling me another way. She thought, my whole family thought I had lost my mind. I'm not lying, bro. They had a meeting about me. Some of you are going to have a meeting when I... Never see. I had a meeting, bro. And you know what my uncle and them said? They said, and we figured it out. They said, here's... So you're supposed to eat the Bible one spoon at a time and chew it up and digest it. Let me see. He said, that boy eat the Bible like a hog eats slops. And citizen drove him crazy. I'm not crazy in the most noble Festus. I speak of good mind. Hey, here you go. But watch this. Before a storm ever come your way, God said, he ready for you. Ready for you. Come on, storm. Come on and just bump up against him. When that storm bump up against him, I'm going to tell you what God does. My wife, hold on, I ain't going to keep you there for just a second. Y'all hang on. But watch this. My wife, after 1 year, I come home. She was frying chicken and tears running down her face. I said, baby, what's wrong with you? She said, for a whole year, I didn't want to live for God what you wanted. And she said, I done everything I could to get you to give up. But it seemed like the more I put pressure on you, the stronger you got. Well, she didn't know. But when the storm hit me, God gets on the backside of the Christian and he starches him up. And when the storm is pushing on the outside, God is holding you up for the backside. Anybody up in here ever seen God hold you up on the backside? Anybody ever seen God keep your mind together? Anybody up in here know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you don't know why you'd be tonight? Anybody up in here got a reason to give God some praise tonight? Anybody up in here got a reason to give God some praise? Say amen right there. Amen. Thank you, bro. I just stopped by to tell you tonight. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Don't you worry about it, preacher. You're going to make it. It's already done. It was done before it ever got started. Don't you worry about it, mama. Don't you worry about it, daddy. Don't you worry about it, young person. You was already finished before you ever got started. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to know you got more with you than they got with them. And I want you to know whatever you're dealing with tonight couldn't have got to you unless God gave it permission. Because somebody need to eat some of what God has given you. And your greatest days are ahead of you because God didn't bring you this far to leave you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness. I want to thank you for your grace. And I thank you, Spirit of God. This is what you ordered tonight. I don't know who needed this. It could have been just for one person tonight. But I tried to do what you told me to do. You told me to go tell your children that you love them tonight. Some of them are going through some of the worst battles that they've ever faced in their life. They don't know what to do and which way to turn. But you sent me to tell them tonight that, Father, you didn't bring them this far to leave them. And, Father, I pray tonight that every member of this ministry would know this church is going to next level. And the reason why is because this is not the works of a man. This is the works of God. And help them to know that they got more with them than whoever they're dealing with got with them. And help them to know everything they're dealing with had to get permission from God before it came their way. But God will never let a storm come their way that he hadn't already checked it out before it showed up. And he'll be there on the backside, holding them, squeezing them, carrying them every step of the way. While heads are bowed and eyes closed tonight, how many can say in this room tonight, Preacher Steele, I may not know a lot of things, but there's one thing I know for sure. If I die tonight, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a witness? God bless you. Thank you for being honest tonight. There's a God in heaven looking at us tonight. Be honest. I promise you, I won't touch you. Come where you are. Put my hands on you. I don't even know your name. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. But be honest tonight. How many can say in this room, Preacher Steele, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to get there. I really want to go. But the truth of the matter is, I cannot say I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Please don't embarrass me. I promise you I won't touch you. Come where you are. I just want to pray for you. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, you die. Will you step your hand up and say, pray for me? Be honest tonight. God looking right at you. God bless you, sir. Just put it right back down. Anybody else that pray for me? I'm not sure. God bless you, ma'am. I'm not going to embarrass you or put you on the spot. I just want to pray. Do you care enough about your soul to allow me just to pray for you? Would you raise your hand? Let's stand all over the house, heads bowed, God's people praying. Father, I come before you tonight, and I bring these two precious hands that were raised tonight, and I promised them I would pray for them. God, help them to realize tonight that you're merciful God. You let them sleep through last night. Let them make it through the day to come down to this place tonight and give them an opportunity to meet the King of Glory. And I pray tonight, I know Satan has already rushed to their side and give them a million reasons why to say no to Jesus. But I pray this will be a night they'll say no to Satan and yes to Jesus. Holy Ghost, bring them to Calvary tonight. As only you can. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and Christians praying. If you raise your hand tonight, just the one that raised a hand, or you could raise your hand either way. Would you look at me for just a moment? You're not sure you're going to heaven. Would you look at me for just a moment? I'm not going to embarrass you. Look at this, man. Listen to me. This is a Baptist church. But we don't tell people we're Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Church of God, Church of Christ, Holiness, anybody's religion said about going to heaven. Would you allow us to take this Bible I hold in my hand and show you how to miss the fires of hell and walk on streets of gold with Jesus forever and forever? If you'll do that, would you step out the way you are right now and come meet me right here? Would you come tonight, ma'am? Let us show you that. Sir, would you come? Let us show you how to go to heaven when you die. God bless your heart. It takes a real man to do what you're doing. Ma'am, would you come? Would you come tonight? God bless you, sir. I'm going to tell you I love you, man. Preacher, would you get somebody to help both of them? Would you take a Bible and make sure they got insurance? Father, I want to thank you so much for these who responded to the gospel. And I pray, Spirit of God, they get it settled for time and eternity. This is no time to play games with God. None of us have have no promise of the next second. We're just so thankful that you let us see another day. Because you made the day, we're going to rejoice in it. I pray right now tonight, somebody up in here will bring that burden they've been carrying, lay it on the altar, and knowing that they got a God that didn't bring them this far to leave. Look up this way, church. I'm going to tell you something. Preachers already said this, but let me show you how to make it. Whatever you're carrying tonight, whatever you're dealing with, if you need to, you need to come to this altar. Lay it on the altar. Grab your promise from the word of God and put it over top of your problem. And then what you do is sit down on the promise and watch God ride you right over all of your trouble. I've seen him do it too many times. So if you need to come tonight, grab a promise. If you don't do nothing but take the verse I gave you tonight and said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You bring that, lay it at the feet of Jesus, and then you sit down by faith. Let him ride you right over top of all your trouble and watch God. Oh yeah, Psalm 34 said, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them, verse 17, out of them all. Oh yeah, you've already won, church. And the next time you deal with something, let me pray for you, then we'll turn it over to preacher. Father, I come tonight. I did my best for you, Jesus. I done what you told me to do. And God, it's up to you for people to do what you said to do. And I ask you, in the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, I pray you touch everybody up in this place. A lot of folks already come, laid some stuff on the altar. But God, I pray when they walk out these doors, they will walk out the same way they came in. I pray, Spirit of God, if they forget everything else preacher still said tonight, they remember that God didn't bring them this far to lead them. Help everyone in here know whatever they're doing for God, whatever God turn on, Satan can't turn it off. Let them know, Father, they got more with them than whatever they're dealing with. And weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Romans 8:28 said all things may not be good, but they work together for the good of them that love God. Maybe somebody need a healing in their body tonight. I decree and declare by your stripes, they've already healed. I pray for that little one we prayed about, 8 years old in the prayer room, that you go where that baby is right now. I thank you for wonderful doctors, wonderful nurses. Walk up in that baby's room at the hospital. Let them see that somebody bigger than them had just walked up in this place and showed up and showed out. You said in Psalm 103, one of your benefits is you heal all diseases. Isaiah 53 said, by your stripes, they're already healed. We're going to touch and agree tonight for everybody in this room, whether it's financially, physically, spiritually, lost loved ones, healing of the body, need money, whatever it is, Jesus, we're going to touch and agree and call those things to be not, though they already done. For we ask this, claim it by faith in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.